Is everything working?
No, I'm fine. Alright, I'm fine. It's truly the nachas for me to, first of all, to have been asked. Thank you so much for asking me to come and speak to you, to share some of my deep some machshavos, and it also gives me nachas to see the alumni getting together for good reasons, good causes, and to keep up with each other, keep up with the school, and keep up with what's going on in each other's lives. I think that's very important. And I encourage you to continue to do so. Tonight I want to talk about a topic that really is a precursor to marriage and to raising children. The topic is Avos Abrios, but it really sets the tone for relationships with B'chlal. I want to dwell a little bit on Parshas Noach, and I want to go to the beginning of the Parsha and discuss some Inyanim in the Pesukim. Let's take a look together, Be'ezras Hashem. The pasuk of Parshas Noach says the following: Ribono Shel Olam, was Mitzaveh, commanded Noach to prepare for a flood. Ladies, what do you think would be on your list of things to bring onto a boat? I'm not talking animals and, you know, but in other words, let's say the Rosh up here to you and say, I'm going to destroy the entire world, you and your family won't be safe. What are you going to bring? I don't think a toothbrush, or what would you bring on the boat? Well, the first thing you'd bring, if you knew you were going to be on the boat for an extended period of time, is what? What's the most important thing you'd bring?
Food.
Food. Maybe you're Gemara, but food you have to eat. The Baruch Shalom tells Noach that ato kach lecha nikol ma'achol asher yeachel. Bring every kind of edible food, the ato kach lecha nikol ma'achol asher yeachel, the osavto elecha, the hoya lecha velohem la'achol. The Baruch Shalom tells Noach to bring food into the deva. Now there's an interesting expression in the pasuk, the ato kach lecha, take for yourself. Now, whenever the Torah says lecha or lechem, the Torah is usually emphasizing ownership. I'll give you an example. By the dalet minim on Sukkos, the Torah prefaces the obligation to take the four minim with ulekachdem lechem. And the Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel expounds from this pasuk that it has to belong to you. You can't, for example, steal a lulav and an esrog and be yotzei the mitzvah of a Jewish man, or you can't borrow one without permission and that kind of thing. It has to belong to you. Borrow it, you can acquire it temporarily, but it has to be yours. So here too, the Kli Arba wants to say that the Ribono Shel Olam was emphasizing to Noach, make sure that the food that you take on the teva is yours and not stolen. Now one might ask, Noach is described as a very righteous man. Why would Hashem find it necessary to tell him, don't steal? You know, imagine if before the Rosh Hashiva came to your house to bring you Shalach Manos, you told him, make sure, Rosh Hashiva, that you don't steal the fruits or whatever it is that you bring in. It's very disrespectful. Why would you say that to him? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after describing Noach as Ish, Tzadik, Tomim, Hoyo, Bedorosa, Veso, Elokim, Yisalach, Noach, accuse him or imply that he would steal, that Hashem has to say not to steal? Very, very difficult. So the Kli Arba wants to say that Noach might have reasoned the following. In a short while, the entire world is going to be obliterated. And all the possessions in the world will be ownerless. So what difference does it make if I sneak into someone's backyard in the middle of the night, take his food? You're not going to be alive for much longer. That's what one might have thought. I can sort of hear that, maybe. So, Kli Arba wants to say that Hashem was telling him, don't justify stealing it anyway. Until people are dead, their articles and their belongings belong to them. However, most of the Farshim find the Kli Arba's pshat extremely difficult, that even under those circumstances, Noach might have justified stealing. It doesn't make sense. First of all, ladies, we have to understand that one of the Sheva mitzvahs that even B'nai Noach are obligated to keep is Gezel. And Noach was a tzaddik. He certainly kept the Sheva mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, and even though he kept the entire Torah. That's number one. Number two, the entire Mabel occurred because of Gezel. writes Chamas. Why would Noach have allowed himself to take something from someone else, which is the whole reason the flood was coming to begin with? And Noach knew that. Very difficult to understand. The Noach would have been Mater Gezel. And furthermore, you have to understand something else. Noach didn't really believe that people were going to die. There's a chazal that says, Yovel Noach el ateva mipnei me hamabel, in the face of the waters. This was in your Parsha sheets, the Parsha's Noach. And you probably learned it in Parsha's Noach when you were in 12th grade, if you got that far. Noach was pushed into the table by the flood. He didn't go in. It was raining. It was coming down. And it came up to his knees or higher until he finally, literally the waters pushed him into the table. Why? Rashi says, Noach miktanei amona haya. Ma'amim ve'eno ma'amim. Ve'lo nichnas la'teva ad shedachkuhu hamayim. That's what Rashi says. Wow. He didn't believe that the floods would come. Now, and therefore, he didn't go in until the waters literally pushed him in. I have to understand, ladies, Noach was a tzaddik. He certainly believed that Hashem told him that he was going to bring a flood, that Hashem could bring a flood, and would bring a flood. Horror. But what Noach didn't believe was that at the end of the day, Noach thought that Hashem would have mercy on the people. Noach thought that Hashem would not, in the end, bring the flood. Why? Because he destroyed the whole world. How can Hashem do that? So Noach waited until the 11th hour, literally, and then he went into the Teva. So it's very hard to imagine that Noach would have justified taking people's belongings by saying they're going to die anyway. We see that Noach didn't really believe that people were going to die. He waited till the 11th hour. And more than that, the truth of the matter is, Chazal say, in the Sechas, in Pirkei Avos, they say that there were 10 generations from Adam to Noach. And the Mishnah says, L'odiyachol kama erech apayim v'fam. How tolerant Ribbono Shel Olam was. It was every door, kulam hayu machdisim. They were angry at Hashem. You know what Chazal was telling us? You know, ad she'evi mabul in the days of Noach. Chazal telling us that Hashem really wanted to destroy the world way before the flood was actually occurred. But Hashem was tolerant until finally he couldn't take it, so to speak. So we see clearly that, you know, that himself didn't want to destroy the world. Noach had reason to doubt that Hashem would destroy the world. Hashem had a track record of allowing the world to continue to exist, although it was deserving of being destroyed before Noach came along the scene. I mean, he might have been scene was 600 years old when the flood started, but before the story of Noah came along the scene. It's very, very difficult to understand. Also, if you look in the Psukim, there's a contradiction in the Psukim that Rashi already referenced. It says, Vayi HaGeshem al Haaretz, and then later it says, Vayi HaMabul al Haaretz. Rashi tells us, B'shem Chazal, that initially it came down in a low, in a very gentle droplets, if you will, and only later it came down as a torrential flood downpour. Why? Even Hashem was waiting for the people to do tshuva. All of this points to the fact that it was not a given that the mabul was going to occur. So it's very hard to understand the Kli Yoker's pshat, that the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote in the Torah that Atah Kach Lecha was to emphasize that it should belong to Noach and should not be stolen. Very difficult, very difficult. In order to appreciate what's going on here, the Mefarshim deal with an interesting approach. There's a Gemara in the Sechel Shabbos and Daflam and Aleph. The Gemara tells us the story. This is a famous story that you've all learned. You've probably learned this many times. There's a non-Jew who came to Shammai and Hillel. First he came to Shammai. And he said, Gairuni, convert me to Judaism. Al Menas, Shetalandeni kola Torah kula kishani oimed arego achas. Convert me on the condition that you teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one foot. You know what "while I'm standing on one foot" means? No? What's "while I'm standing on one foot" mean? Take a guess. I think literally like this. Yeah. You know what he means? How long can a person balance himself on one foot? An hour? Half? That's a long time, by the way. I don't think I can. What he means is, teach it to me in a relatively short period of time. There's a deeper meaning. Regalachas means the foundation. told him, "I don't have the patience to learn the entire Torah. Convert me and just teach me the basics. Teach me the basics." So Shammai rejected him, threw him out, and said, "That's not what Judaism is all about. Judaism is a process, and you have to learn, and you have to study, and you have to, it's a whole thing." Then he went to Hillel. And Hillel welcomed him. What did Hillel teach him? So the Gemara uses the Aramaic term, what you hate, don't do upon others. Basically, he taught him, that's the way the Rishonim learn. And this is a klal of the Torah. He said, learn this. This is the pirush of the Torah. Learn this. And, he said, this is the Torah, and the rest of the Torah is a pirush to this. Learn this, and you will know the whole Torah. That's what he told him. What was Hillel saying? Now we're going to get to Ava Sabrius, and I'm hoping to Ezra Hashem. The Hillel was saying that Haftal Reacha Kamoka is a klal Baba Batorah. It's not his lashon, it's the lashon that we're applying. The Hillel was saying was, there's a famous Gemara in Makos on Daf of Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, there are a few places in Shas that the Gemara counts our mitzvahs as being 613. The Gemara doesn't tell us how it gets to that reckoning, but in a few places, Chazal tell us that there are 613 mitzvahs that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, "Bo David, David v'hemidon al achadasrei." David condensed them to 11 mitzvahs. You have to understand what that means. This you've learned too, I'm sure. Then Bo Yeshaya v'hemidon al sheish. Yeshaya came and condensed them further until 6 mitzvahs. Bo Micha v'hemidon al shalosh. Micha came and he condensed them to 3 mitzvahs. And then after Micha, it says Chazar Yeshaya v'hemidon al shtayim. Yeshaya came and he condensed them to 2 mitzvahs, and Bach Habakkuk, the Hamidon al Achas. Habakkuk came and said, the entire Torah can be condensed to 1 mitzvah. What's that mitzvah? Tzadik ben Munaso, Yichya. Right? Very good. Tzadik ben Munaso, Yichya. He said, if you have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything else will follow. Now, Chazal were very careful here. This is the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara. The Ritva explains the Gemara this way. The Rishonim explain the Gemara, the Chas V'Shalom, you're not allowed to be Mosif or Megarei on the Torah. You can't take the Tariq principles and make them less. That's Apikarsis. You can't do that. What does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says these Nevi'im came and they condensed the mitzvos? What they did was they focused on certain mitzvos that were easier for individuals or for the generation to tap into the tired mitzvahs as a result. And what they really were saying is this: each one of the tired mitzvahs is a shorish, is a root. And if you are mekayim that mitzvah, all the tired mitzvahs are somehow embedded in that mitzvah. And then, for example, I don't know if any of you say the Yehi Ratzon before you're mekayim a mitzvah. Some mitzvahs that we say we should have kavanah to be mekayim the mitzvah. The tired mitzvahs have fully involved. And we should be mekayim the 613 mitzvahs that are dependent upon the kiyum of this mitzvah. But Chazal, that's a lashon of Chazal. What Chazal are alluding is the fact that 613 mitzvahs are really included in each one of the 613 mitzvahs. There's a shaychus to all the mitzvahs in each one. So hypothetically, if a person were to really be mechavan and really be mekayim a particular mitzvah, any of the mitzvahs, he or she has a connection to all tariq mitzvahs. So what the Nevi'im were doing was, they were focusing on certain of the mitzvos as a medium through which people could attach to the mitzvos. So finally, Chavachu came and said Emunah. Now, what Hillel probably did, the Mefarshim say, is he realized that this person who wanted to convert to Judaism could not connect through Emunah because he did not yet believe. And instead, he substituted the mitzvah of Emunah with something that the non-Jew could comprehend. And that was Ve'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. This is something that even a Gentile can, a non-Jew can understand. We need to be respectful of each other. We need to be sensitive to each other. We need to connect emotionally with other people, interact appropriately with other people. Ve'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. That is what Hillel told him to do. So it turns out then, very interestingly, that this is sort of the Nachri's the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. In other words, this is the Nachri's Tzadik Be'Vinaso Yichri. This is the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. So the entire Torah is included in the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Ladies, if we really think about the Ra'ata L'Reacha Kumocha, Chazal say, you know what Chazal say Re'acha is? Ra'ata L'Reacha Kumocha is included, it's not the Pashim Shah. The Rebash, not only are the mitzvahs being Adam L'Chavero included in Ra'ata L'Reacha Kumocha, but also the Rebash, he gives you, and if you love everyone who does as your friend, you should certainly love the Rebash. So really, everything is included in Ra'ata L'Reacha Kumocha. How do we reach Ahavas Hashem? And by Ra'ata L'Reacha Kumocha is Ahavas Abrios. How do we reach that? It's Chazal, but very clear. It says in Shema, it says, Ra'ata Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha. B'chol nafshecha means like this. The Pashtus, it means that a person should love Hashem to the point where they're willing to be moser nafshan for Hashem. But the Mefarshim explained that it also means the converse. And what that means is, if we're moser nafsh for Hashem, we come to love him. I tell you, there's a mistake that nafuts in the world. Chazal say correctly, im ata chafetz yidavek ve'ahavas chavercha, if you want to connect in a loving way to your friend, Chazal say, having no save and no save the tovosa, give to him. I want to tell you, if you survey the secular world and you ask them, who do you love? So they would say, I love those who give to me. That's what they would say. Or, who do you give to? I give to those who I love. And who do I love? Those who give to me. The truth is the opposite. We love those to whom we give. And I can't emphasize this enough. In a relationship, when you give to someone else, you begin to appreciate them. And there's no greater proof than a mother to a baby. I don't really get anything from a baby. Now, you might say, yes, of course I do. I get tremendous nachas, and my heart is filled with joy. And that is true. But where does that come from? It comes from the fact that you give. I'm telling you. And that's what Chazal say. It comes from the fact that you give unconditional love to the child. Hopefully, that's what you do. Unconditional love to the child. You're not expecting anything back from the child. And you're filled with an intense emotional joy within, because that's what results from giving. I want to tell you that in a successful relationship, whether it's a relationship between two close friends or even a relationship with marriage, the success of the relationship really is dependent upon the frame of mind. In other words, is this a relationship that I have in order to benefit myself? And I want to take from the relationship everything that I possibly can to better myself? Or is it a relationship where I want to give to the other party? Whether it's a friend, and again, even in marriage. A person goes into marriage saying, I want to marry a person who will do A, B, C, D, and E for me. Now, you're allowed to be thinking those things. But that's not the goal of marriage. The marriage is really, yes, you don't want a person who's going to take advantage and is going to do nothing but take. But at the same token, your focus has to be in the relationship. What can I do for my spouse? And if both spouses approach the marriage with what can I do for my spouse, that marriage is going to be la'ilo, la'ilo mikol b'yachasa v'shirasa, literally. It's going to be an incredible relationship. What do Chazal say over here? I'm going to get back to this point in a moment. What do Chazal say over here? They say an interesting thing. Noach was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam to take his own food. Let's think about it for a minute. Of all the people in the world, what did we just say? That if a person is moser nefesh and gives of themselves to the other person, or to the prios, they feel an intense affinity towards them. Noach was moser nefesh for everyone on the table. We spoke about this in high school. This is a very important thing. Noach was on the table for an entire year. That was not a pleasure cruise. He was very busy the entire time. The Medrash Tanhuma emphasizes that he had absolutely no sleep. If you learn the Medrash Kipshuta, Noach didn't sleep for an entire year. Even though it's not humanly possible. He was busy at every moment feeding another of the animals whose time it was to eat. He and his sons and his daughters-in-law and his wife were busy, except for maybe Shabbos. Maybe. Busy 6 days a week with halakhos, feeding everyone. So he What Mesiras Nefesh? What Mesiras Nefesh? Now, you might think that actually that would result in hating the animals, despising the animals. I can't, I don't want to see another animal for as long as I live. But in truth, if you're doing it for the right reasons, and you're doing it because you realize that there's a need, and they're relying on you, it actually increases your love of the animals. Noah had a relationship with the animals by the time he left the Teva that was stronger than he had going in. People don't realize this. And here's what I want to say. Imagine, if you ask people, I'll tell you this is a true story. Once when I was in school, a professor came over to me and she, it's not really appropriate to ask me, but how many kids do you have? Whatever, 7. So I said, she says, oh my gosh. So she said something that floored me. You must really not like your kids. I said, what, excuse me? She says, well, you're so busy, you have no life for yourself. She says, I don't know if you hate them, but you certainly don't like them. And I was floored. I realized something. It's a secular concept. It's a concept out there, and that is, the more I do for someone, the more I hate them. Because, like, I don't have any time for myself. I don't have any individuality. I'm constantly, whatever she thinks I do, change diapers, bathe kids, cook supper, I don't cook supper, but, right? But whatever it is, of course, I do stuff, and I'm busy with my kid, absolutely. But I was trying to explain to her that, if anything, thousands. My wife, tens of thousands. And I've bathed a lot of kids, and I spent a lot of hours until the skin of my hands were not so soft, right? Did a lot of things, right? Stayed up a lot of nights. Still stay up a lot of nights, but for different reasons. But I stayed up for a lot of nights, holding this one, holding. My wife and I had a deal. She took the day, and I did the night. So it was very hard. It was not easy. But you know something? This is what they fail to understand. It increased my love for my children. It didn't decrease it. I didn't go around moping and saying, oh my gosh, I have no life. I live. That's what a person should say. I wish I never had my kids. But I've heard people say that. So, wow, how crumb. I'm sorry, that's seriously, seriously crumb. Seriously. Now, I'm telling you this before because you need to understand. It's almost hard to understand. Maybe if you had siblings that are younger and you took care of them, it's not the same. I'm telling you, it's not the same. When you have your own child and you give to your child, yes, it drains and you're exhausted. Of course it drains. Obviously it drains. But at the end of the day, you look at your child. You gave of yourself to your child. And you see in your child yourself. And that relationship is so strong that you would do almost anything. It's not because you received anything from your child. Again, you get an emotional nachas and all that, but that results from the fact that you give to them. And that's why parents that don't give to their children don't have that same level of affection towards their children as those who do. I wanted to ask her, but it's grossly inappropriate. Like, how many kids do you? You probably have no kids. I didn't want to say anything, and I ended the conversation, and I walked away. But that is a misunderstanding. Or people who say in the Goyishal world, you know, I'm going to wait. I don't even want to talk to Pemole, but they say, you know, I have to finish this, I have to do this, I have to do that. You know what you're missing out on? You're missing out on a relationship of unconditional love. And it's a relationship that they don't know. Believe me, they don't know. They don't know because society at large translates love as what can I gain, what can I receive. And in reality, the Torah looks at it the other way around. It's the same ladies with the spouse. And here's where even among in our camp, people make a mistake. With a child, everyone can understand. What's a baby to do? A baby can't give me back anything. So the meal I do for the baby, even though I don't expect anything in return. Maybe I expect from the baby when the baby's older, fine, perhaps. But in reality, everyone understands and thinks clearly that I'm giving unconditionally. I'm not expecting anything in return. When it comes to a spouse, we're affected by Western culture and Western society, and some of us think that I'm only going to give if I get in return. And I can almost guarantee that if you're thinking that going in, it's going to have a negative effect because that's perceived. It's perceived by the female and it's perceived by the male. It has to be that I'm giving because I've built a relationship with this person and this is a person who is the center of my world and therefore I'm giving. And the male, the reaction will be there. That is what Chazal are saying. The Ribbono Shel Olam told Noach to take his own food into the teva to up the ante, and told Noach that I want you to be Moser Nefesh at the highest level, not only with your time, not only with your effort, but even with your money. I want everything to be yours. In short, there wasn't anything of himself that Noach didn't give for the animals, and that was the relationship that was necessary in order for him to be able to survive the year in the Mabul. To give of yourself. To give of yourself. That is what the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. I want to tell you that when one of the things that I watched from my Rebbeim when I was a young boy was how they interacted with their spouses and how they interacted with their children. Wherever I was in yeshiva, the Rebbeim's children were in the yeshiva. So I would see how they interacted with their kids, but I also went to my Rebbeim's houses, and I'm not telling you that's what you should do, I'm just telling you something for the point, I'm trying to emphasize the point that I'm about to make. But one of the reasons I went to the houses of my Rebbeim was to see the relationship between the father and the mother, between each other, and the relationship between them and their children. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I'm going to tell you one of many. I once went to Rav Volbe's house. Rabbi Volbe, they say in English, I think, right? Okay. All right. Rav Volbe is how we knew him. Rav Volbe came to Kol Torah. I heard him for like 12, 13 years. He came every Matzah Shabbos. In Kol Torah, we didn't keep 72 minutes. We kept like an hour and a half. In other words, way after Shabbos, we came to the Beis Medrash. We were still Shabbos day. He took a cab from Givat Shaul to Beit Vigan because he was older and couldn't obviously walk from there to Yeshiva. And every Matzah Shabbos, we had a shir from him for about an hour. That was our Matzah Shabbos. Wow. So once I had a talk to him in private, and I was married at the time, and I asked for an audience in his house, and he gave me an appointment, and I went to his house. So we're sitting and talking. We were in a room, his room, wall to wall, far, barely straw. And suddenly, his grandson knocked on the door. So Rav Volbe turns to me and says, I am so apologetic. I haven't seen my grandson in a week and a half. I have to say hello. Please forgive me. And he stopped our conversation. And his grandson came and gave him a big hug and a glet on the cheek. And he said, how are you doing? How was your week? You didn't see him a week and a half. I didn't see him, for a half a year. I didn't see him for a week and a half. That's like, sometimes I don't see my kids for a week and a half. That's not such a long time. But I was amazed at how he devotes of himself to his kids. And it's a relationship that you can see the glow in the eyes of the grandchild. He understands that his grandfather was genuinely interested in him. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in Rabbi Hopper's office, usually for school-related matters, and the phone rings like every 3 seconds, literally. Most of the phone calls he doesn't take. There's one phone call that he'll always take, and that's from one of his children. Yeah. So he'll apologize. He'll say, this is my daughter from Eretz Yisrael. I'm so sorry, but I have to pick up the phone. You know, and he said, you know, even if he spoke to her yesterday, you know, he's a father. He has to, hi, how are you? How was your day? I try not to, where was I going to go? I couldn't hide under my chair. It's a small room. It's not, you know, I put my fingers in my ears. It's anything private. But the beauty of a relationship between a father and a daughter, she knows that as busy as he is, she can call. That doesn't pick up every single time. Maybe if there's a momish, a life-shattering emergency. I have heard him do that so many times. I've seen him from the Zalman with his grandchildren, from the Zalman with his children, and with his children-in-law, his sons-in-law. Well, your woman, he is super. The Ahava. And Rav Zalman loves Torah. I didn't see him love much else, but his children, absolutely. And when they came and they had a Shiloh or this or that, the nachas that he had was like, but the child felt that he gave of them. This had a tremendous hashpah on me, and I really learned what Ahava is. Ahava is giving. Ahava is giving. I once when I was. Just married, and I had a few kids. Started learning with my younger kids. I was feeling a little so much time learning. That's not counting the time of doing homework and all that. The learning Torah with them. Do you understand? For a father, you know how much time I spent every single night learning Gemara with this one, Mishnah with this one, this one, this one. Learning with my boys. Forget about the homework with the girls. It's just a whole parsha in itself. But learning with my boys. And I started asking myself, like, I don't have time to learn. Like, am I doing, and I realized, oh, that's very wrong. I saw from my own rebellion. You think Rosh Hashanah can finish Shas another few times? You know what the Brisker Rav said? The Brisker Rav said, if I wouldn't have had children, I could have finished Shas another 100 times. There's a different yourselves in the story. What was he trying to say? I had children. That's what I'm supposed to have. I'm supposed to give to them. So I didn't finish Shas. I only finished Shas, 500 times and not 600 times, whatever it was. But that's the point he's trying to make. And the point is, that's what we're here for. We're here to give. We're here to give to others. The truth of the matter is, ladies, in every situation, with friends, with relatives, and certainly in marriage and with your own children, there are ample opportunities to give. Not every relationship is incredible and this and that and the other. If it's close relatives that you should be nice to anyway, even though it's hard, so you should still. But if you give, it definitely increases. There's a fascinating chazal. Chazal say Yosir Mimashe Habalabayis Oseh LeOni HaOni Oseh LeBalabayis. This is a Yalkut in Brus, it's a Yalkut in Bahar, it's a Medrash Rabbah, it's in many places. The poor man does more for the Balabayas who gives him money than the Balabayas does for the poor man. Now we always learn that on a simple level, that tzedakah tatzel mimavis, tzedakah is so, the schar is great, so you get more from the honey than you're giving the honey, the $10 or $5 you're giving the honey. But in truth, what Chazal are saying is deeper than that. Do you know what the honey gives you? It gives you a lev tov. A good heart. When you're sensitive to an ani at the door and you give him of yourself, it's hard-earned money. Maybe you babysat, maybe you worked, whatever you did. That's hard-earned money. You gave of yourself when you feel better. You are a better person. That is worth gold. Imagine if every one of my students before she goes to seminary says, "Rabbi Stein, I want to be a better person. What can I do to be a better person?" One of the answers is give. Give of yourself to someone in an appropriate way, but give of yourself to someone. You will, guaranteed, be a better person for it. So, marriage is an incredible tool of self-improvement. First of all, you definitely have someone constantly who hopefully will not verbalize it, but is there to critique if you're not doing something okay. But it's a time for self-reflection. Am I giving into this marriage, or am I giving to my children what I'm supposed to be giving to them? It's self-reflection. So there's no greater time, the greatest mussar that I give myself, and when I talk to myself, is how am I in the marriage and how am I with my children? I constantly critique myself. Don't get paranoid. Don't walk around depressed and saying, like, oh my gosh, I'm doing nothing. No, chas v'shalom. But you're supposed to critique yourself. Can I be better? Can I be better in the relationships that I currently have between my friends, between family members, those of you who are married, my spouse, those of you who have children, those of you who are not married, or whatever it is? Can I improve on those relationships? Because ultimately, that makes you a better person. Let's not focus on, well, you know why I'm not so nice to this one or to that one. It's because it could be true. But at the end of the day, it's an opportunity for you to be a better person. And don't let that opportunity go to the wayside. But that's the Hafel Reacha Kumoch HaZekhal Kodol V'Torah. The Rosh Hashanah wants us to perfect our relationships with others, and especially to improve our relationships with each other. The Hittikidai, when he mentions Hashem, when you leave this shiur tonight, pick one person in your lives. It could be a friend, it could be a relative, whoever it is, and ask yourself if you can improve your mindset in the relationship, and you can be more of a giver and less of a taker. I don't mean that you shouldn't take, but that the focus of the relationship should be where you're giving, and focus on what it does for you when you give. Pick one person. Start with one person. I'm telling you, it can have an incredible effect. And especially do it now to get used to thinking about that, so that the Ezras Hashem, all find your Ben Zug, the Karog, focusing on that part of the relationship, Ezra Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom, should be misnabik each one of you with this Hebrew Hagun, the Ito of Ismano, and you should be zoichet to build a bias with Tzatzoyim, L'shem Ultiferis, with much nachas to you and to all of us and to all the Tzatzoyim. Any questions?